We're playing a pattern, and here's the pattern. Civilization is a living organism, an animal. And by its definition, it's going to evolve in the same characteristic way that animals evolved. So there's a part we went from, let's say, fish, amphibians, reptiles, birds, and mammals. The fish phase was when human civilization, earliest phase, mariculture. They lived at the sea. They had to live at the water. They couldn't live without water. They were stuck to wherever the water was. Agriculture was the amphibian stage. Why? They took the water with them on the land so they could go deep into the land, penetrate in the land, get the water, grow all the stuff, and live because you needed the water. Okay, the reptile stage, reptiles are the only animals that were first designed for land. They're almost like machines. They're almost mechanical. Like when you see a lizard, like it's almost digital the way it moves. The reptiles were the equivalent of the industrial age. That's when we became reptilian. And it's interesting because we're still in that age. And guess what? We're fueling this civilization with what they call the blood of the dinosaur. We're fueling it with oil, which is the character of that reptilian phase. And so we're living a reptilian phase of civilization. The lizards were like mom and pop shops, but they grew into dinosaurs, which were corporations. And the corporations evolved. And then here comes the cool part. The bird phase of human civilization started in 1903 when Wilbur and Orville Wright started to fly. It changed the whole world because now you can fly around in a few hours. It changed. The world was so massive at one point nobody could imagine it. Now we can fly around it and put a satellite around it. And I say, so the birds evolved from 1903, but guess what? They reached their fullest evolution in 1969. 1969, the birds landed on the moon and they took a picture of the Earth. And those hippies back then saw this picture and created Earth Day within a month or two of the picture coming back, number one. Number two, they said, oh man, look at that. We got to take care of that. That's all we have. Got to take care of the water, the air, take care of the kids and all that. Taking care is the character called nurturing. Nurturing is the character of mammals. So in 1969, the mammalian phase of human civilization was seeded with the hippies looking and saying, oh my God, take care of each other, take care of the planet, we generation. That's what it was all about. But then go back in history and recognize when the mammals first evolved, the dinosaurs were still here too. And the dinosaurs were, you know, the big, big killer things, and the mammals were the little meek, furry guys, right? And the fact is, they talk about the meek taking over the earth. Well, we're in that transition. The dinosaur is falling.
We're going to stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
Every Sunday waking up, catching gossip at its worst. Couldn't see the difference in the Baptist and the Catholic Church. Caught up in the rapture of the first chapter and second verse. If we all God's children, then what's the word of the Reverend Worth? Taught early that faith is blind, like justice when you face a time. If we all made in God's image, then that mean his face is mine. Wait, or is that blasphemy? It's logical, it has to be. If I don't look like my father, then the way I live is bastardly. Naturally, that's confusion to a youngin' trying to follow Christ. Taught that if you don't know Jesus, then you lead a hollow life. Never question the fact that Jesus was a Jew and not a Christian, or that Christianity was made law by politicians. And who is King James? And why did he think that it was so vital to remove chapters and make his own version of the Bible? They say hell is underground, heaven is in the sky. They say that's where you go when you die, but how they know? I've been to many churches. I quoted many verses. I dealt with my base self. I control my many urges. I used to study my lessons. That was a blessing, not a curse. I found out that heaven and hell exist right here on earth. Word. Studied with Rastafarians. Found out from the dress that hell is called Babylon, and that's where the crazy boyheads dwell. They got us thinking that Muslims like to make bombs, but real Muslims believe in paradise and resist the shaitan. So it all sound the same to me. But when they say one's right and the other's wrong, it just sound like gain to me. It's like God skipped past the church and came to me. No, that ain't vain to me. It's just a particular way that I came to see the difference between those that claim to be religious and those that say they spiritual. And recognize that life is full of miracles. You can see the flow with divine. I glow when I rhyme because it coincides with the growing tide of those looking for God and know to go inside. Looking for absolution. Living in mass confusion. The gas-inducing psychopath created a last solution based on his interpretation of what the words are saying. Looking for God but ended up doing the work of Satan. Religion create division. Make the Muslim hate the Christian. Make the Christian hate the Jew. Make up rules of faith that you condition to and gotta follow. God forbid you go to hell. But if you ever been to any ghetto, then you know well.
This is the conspiratorial view of history as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
The Higgs boson is a particle that we think exists because we think there's something called the Higgs field, which is everywhere in space. Now this Higgs field is what's responsible for giving the other particles mass. So you should think of it perhaps like an oil which slows other particles down as they move through it. And the Higgs boson is a bit like a ripple in that oil, but it's a particle as well, because whenever there's a field, there's a particle. One thing's for certain, we won't know for absolutely sure tomorrow if they've discovered the Higgs boson or not. But there might be some evidence which suggests that they could have done. So this is a scientific experiment. They have to take lots of measurements, and as they take more and more measurements and get more data, it becomes more statistically significant. We know tomorrow they won't have enough data to say for sure whether the Higgs boson exists, but there might be some indications that it might exist. It won't change our everyday lives. This is about amassing knowledge about the origin of mass and the origin of the universe. It's about understanding how the particles that we know are made of, how they get mass and where they come from. But it won't have any immediate implications. Maybe a few thousand years down the line we'll find some way of using the Higgs field, but not in the immediate future.
When you consider that many of the people at the top of the power structures are fundamentalist Christians. Now imagine this. Imagine that they weren't fundamentalist Christians. Imagine they were just, you know, cultists, and they believed in a dark god. They worshipped a dark god, and this dark god was a child sacrificer and had sacrificed its own son at one point, spilled the blood of its own son out of some sense of obligation or power, and that they were praying and worshiping daily to a dark god who was planning revenge on the majority of the human race and was right now at this very moment planning and getting ready to destroy the planet with plagues and different and horsemen and trumpets and weird, like crazy angels that were going to fly down and kill and poison the waters of the earth. And they're worshiping this god daily. They go to church and worship a god that wants to destroy the planet every day. They pray to this god, "Oh Lord, give me the courage to lead today, so that I may be prepared for when you return and destroy the planet." That's who they pray to, man. That's God. They pray to God. They pray to a God that wants to wipe us out, throw us in hell, kill the homosexuals, destroy the majority of the planet, so all that's left is a few John McCain-style honkies with their feet in a river of blood, waving up at Gabriel or worshiping God, like walking down streets of gold, waving American flags. That's the freaks who are, a lot of them are running this country, man. That ain't good. That's not good. That's bad. I don't want anyone having access to a nuclear arsenal that worships a god that's planning on, at some random time, blasting the planet I'm living on and wiping out the majority of the people because he's pissed about what they did to his hippie kid 22,000 years ago. Like, come on, man. Forget about it. I wasn't alive back then. I can't help it that they threw your kid up on a cross. I had nothing to do with it. Why are you coming back to kill their descendants? I call their god Loon Loon, and it's this weird creature. It reminds me of an H.P. Lovecraft demon spirit. If you change the name of their god, well, their god doesn't have a name. It's a nameless god. It's a nameless god. It's like out of Conan. It's an invisible nameless god. They worship the invisible nameless god, and part of worshiping the invisible nameless god is sending kids off to war and letting the kids kill people. And another part of worshiping the invisible nameless god is making it so gay people can't get married. The invisible nameless one, he curses the gays, the one with no name. He doesn't like stuff. He's like really upsets him. Did you see that dumb cartoon I made, by the way? Jesus Heals a Gay. I like redid, like, I took an old Christian cartoon of Jesus healing a leper and just replaced the words with him healing a homosexual.
Oh, pull that up. Pull that up.
I'm gay. I'm gay. Stay back.
Careful, master. That man is gay.
He's warning us to stay away.
Hey, don't be afraid, queer.
Master, no. Don't touch him. He's a homo.
If you are willing, you can make me straight.
I am willing. Be straight.
Elam?
Still have fingers? These are vagina fingering hands now. I'm straight, so don't hit me, okay? I'm straight, just don't hit me. I'm straight. I'm straight. Mwah! Vagina, 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 vagina. Vagina! I love it.
I'm Rick Perry, and I approve this message.
A woman has come between one of Canada's most famous couples. I'm not talking about Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez and Maria Yeater either. The beautiful snowmance of Buddy and Pedro has come to an end. The male penguins from Toronto Zoo rose to fame earlier in the year when they started mating rituals with each other. But sadly, the love story, which was labelled Brokeback Iceberg, has ended, and Pedro's taken a fancy to a female. Good news for the prospects of penguin breeding, bad news for Buddy. Oh well, there's plenty more fish in the sea. And penguins. There are more penguins too.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
It's like the best show ever!
Church services. Christian or not, there aren't many who would call them a thrill a minute. But for one priest with beats, it's glow sticks, not candlesticks, and pumping bass over Amazing Grace. Reverend Ole Eidstrom from All Saints Church in Stockholm, Sweden, is trying to attract a younger audience to his congregations. And it seems to be working. A church which once struggled to attract four to the floor is now packed to its 400 capacity, with Reverend Ravers aged 2 to 80 enjoying Bible-based beats. As Faithless once sang, tonight God is a DJ. Maybe not quite, but this congregation are certainly worshipping at the altar of dance. As protesters march through London in a row over pensions, which has seen an estimated 2 million workers strike, demonstrators allegedly from the Occupy movement seize their chance and occupy the offices of a nearby mining company. Around 60 are reported to have made their way into the building, some unfurling banners on the roof. Police immediately sealed off the area and violent scuffles ensued. Around 20 people were arrested.
Settled up. And most of all, I will not grow up. I won't sit down, and I won't shut up. And most of all, yeah, I won't grow up.
Have them all shot.
Cuddly, lovable Jeremy Clarkson. He's well known for his controversial views on just about everything, from cars to strikers. Speaking of which, just what does he think about the November 30th pension strikes?
I'd have them all shot. I would take them outside and execute them in front of their families. I mean, how dare they go on strike when they've got these gilt-edged pensions that are going to be guaranteed while the rest of us have to work for a living?
Unsurprisingly, his views have caused a bit of a stir. Jeremy Clarkson, sunshine, lollipops, and a firing squad.
All maturity's a wrapped up package deal, or so it seems. A ditching teenage fantasy means ditching all your dreams. All your friends and peers and family solemnly tell you you will have to grow up, be an adult, yeah, be bored and unfulfilled. Oh, but no one's yet explained to me exactly what's so great about saving. Most of all, I will not grow up. I won't sit down, I won't shut up. Most of all, yeah, I won't grow up.
Montreal police are under fire for tagging activists with a special sort of tracing ink. In fact, some members of the Occupy Montreal movement are now considering legal action against police because of it. The whole story started last week as police were expelling activists from Victoria Square downtown. Police claim the ink was used to identify the demonstrators. But as Rob Lurie reports, a Montreal lawyer says they violated people's human rights.
Ben Godin isn't too pleased with Montreal police. Last Friday, as officers were breaking up the Occupy Montreal movement, he was part of a group that handcuffed themselves to the outdoor kitchen.
The police asked us to move, and we did not comply. They removed us by using force.
The protesters were taken to a bus where officers processed them.
And they took pictures, and then they wrote one picture, one number here. I got the number 5 in a black marker.
They also marked some with an ink that could only be seen under a UV light.
They said it was a means for identifying us if we returned to the site while they were continuing police operations, in which case we'd be arrested again and charged.
Police refused to give an on-camera interview, but they say this was the best way to ensure that the protesters didn't return to the square. And they add it's a technique used by clubs and bars for many years.
And surely that is not right.
But this constitutional lawyer is quick to point out the protesters weren't in a bar.
If the police said, may we please do this, and the person said yes, then there's no problem.
He believes branding the protesters violates their civil rights.
You can't do something physically to somebody. You can't brand them, mark them, touch them, cut their hair. And physical acts are trespass.
Ben Godin and others are now considering a civil suit against police. Meanwhile, there could be other confrontations. Some protesters have now moved to the gazebo on Mount Royal, and authorities are watching their every step.
And if all you ever do with your life is just photos in the size, then you deserve every hour of your sleepless nights that you waste wondering when you're gonna die.
Explodes at a petrol station in Mexico. Two students die in the area as they clash with police in the state of Guerrero. It's as they demonstrate against the closure of classes at a nearby school. The security video seems to show police kicking students on the floor. Later shots are fired into the air. The chief of the state police has already been fired for this behaviour, and an investigation into the students' deaths is taking place.
Now I'll play, and you sing. The perfect way for the evening to begin. Now I'll play, and you sing. The perfect way for the evening to begin. And I won't sit down, and I won't shut up.
Supposed to do it. So keep your finger off the trigger, please. Thank you. Don't point your weapon at me. It's against procedure and it's against code. I'm a journalist. I'm allowed to be here.
Guns down! 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 Guns down!
Escamilla, E-S-C-A-M-I-L-L-A. I believe he just broke procedure.
Morning, investigators took 18-year-old Robin Anderson from her home to question her about the guns used in the attack. Sources tell ABC News Anderson was Dylan Klebold's date to the prom 10 days ago, and investigators want to know if she bought one or more of the weapons, which were similar to these. She is too young to have legally purchased the semi-automatic handgun.
Is she facing further questioning? I'm sure she will. I'm sure she will.
More details are also emerging about the young gunman's plans. Authorities say a diary from Harris's house says that they wanted to kill 500 students, spread their attack to the neighborhood, hijack a plane, and crash it into New York City. Hijack a plane and crash it into New York City. Hijack a plane and crash it into New York City.
Oh,
On September 13, 2011, Thomas Keene, chair of the 9/11 Commission and former governor of New Jersey, gave a lecture for the Drew Forum, a series of public lectures at Drew University located in Madison, New Jersey. We Are Change was tipped off to the event by YouTube user FreedomFighter28 and attended. After the lecture, a question and answer session was opened up to the audience when We Are Change asked Thomas Keene to address the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7, which was not hit by a plane and was not mentioned once in the 9/11 Commission report. His answer was simply shocking.
Building 7 was not part of the World Trade Center. It was next door. And we had questions from probably you and some other people. How did Building 7 collapse then? So I'm not an architect. In any way or other, I'm not a builder, I don't know about these things. So we asked the Bureau of Standards to investigate. And they did a report, which you can get hold of, and they said that Building 7 collapsed from the aftershocks of that planes going into those buildings. It was so weakened at its foundations that it then collapsed.
Keene claims the Bureau of Standards' final report on the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7 found that aftershocks from the planes hitting the Twin Towers caused the foundation of Building 7 to weaken and collapse. First, it is important to note that the National Bureau of Standards changed its name back in 1988 to the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST. Second, nowhere in NIST's final report does it say that aftershocks from the impact of the planes into the Twin Towers caused or even had a factor in the collapse of Building 7. In fact, NIST claims Building 7 was brought down by fire.
World Trade Center 7 collapsed because of fires. Fire-induced progressive collapse.
However, NIST's final report has come under harsh criticism from highly reputable sources.
Court has won a default judgment that Iranian officials, including its supreme leader Ayatollah Khamenei, provided help to the 9/11 hijackers behind the worst terror attack on American soil. The lawsuit was filed by the families of the atrocities victims. There was no Iranian representation in the court. Let's talk about this with Jamal Abdi from the National Iranian American Council, representing the Iranian community in the United States. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. So how valid do you think this court ruling is?
Look, I don't see any evidence that is particularly compelling that Iran had a direct role in 9/11. I think this is actually, this is really scary that we're going down this pathway in which, you know, 10 years after the September 11th attacks, 10 years after we saw first Afghanistan and then Iraq fingered for those attacks and then invaded by the United States, that we're now hearing the same type of rhetoric about Iran. Like I said, everything that I've seen has been very tenuous. There's allegations that the travel of some of the hijackers was facilitated through Iran. I don't see a direct role at all.
So you're suspicious of the timing of it? Of course, coming at a time when a lot of Western countries are also ratcheting up the pressure as well against Iran, sanctions, etc., etc., over those claims about the fact that Iran's suspected of developing nuclear weapons. You think there's some sort of kind of tie-in here with the timing, yeah?
Well, look, I know that we have seen in Washington, there's been a campaign in New York to link Iran very publicly to 9/11. On the anniversary of those attacks earlier this year, there was a billboard campaign in Times Square with Ahmadinejad's face and something along the lines of, you know, the silent partner of Al-Qaeda. There's clearly a campaign right now to try to ratchet up the pressure for yet another U.S. Attack on a Middle Eastern country. And I just think this is so dangerous. And if you go back to when those attacks happened, immediately afterward, Iran condemned the attacks. There were candlelight vigils on the streets of Tehran in solidarity with the Americans who lost their lives. You saw Iran cooperating with the United States in helping topple the Taliban, who is an enemy of Iran, as was Osama bin Laden. What we're seeing now is this strange self-fulfilling prophecy process, and I'm worried that this is exactly what we saw with Iraq. This is a campaign to go to war.
Terrorists and criminals do their best to cover their tracks. This may include paying in cash or using false identification.
Hang on a second. Let me call you back.
I'm sorry, Bobby. I have this guest who wants to stay for a few weeks and wants to pay in advance in cash.
Well, cash is money last time I checked. What's the problem? Did you ask him for a credit card?
Yeah, I did. He said he doesn't have one. He doesn't use them.
No credit cards? How about an ID?
Well, he gave me one. It just doesn't feel right.
Well, everyone's normal until they check into a hotel.
Yeah, I know.
Problem?
I guess it's not a problem. It's just weird. Okay, we have everything checked out then. That's for you. And I'll...
If your interaction with a patron feels odd, if that person appears nervous or anxious, refuses to show ID, if the ID seems to be altered, or if the guest insists on paying with cash for sums that are customarily charged and refuses to show a credit card, alert your manager or security personnel. This is suspicious behavior.
Did you ask him for a credit card?
Yeah, I did. He said he doesn't have one. He doesn't use them.
No credit cards?
I guess it's not a problem. It's just weird.
Did you ask him for a credit card?
Yeah, I did. He said he doesn't have one. He doesn't use them.
No credit cards?
I guess it's not a problem. It's just weird.
All right, now I want to talk about last night's Republican presidential debate. The final debate, finally, before the Iowa caucuses on January 3rd. I've got to say, it was a little less fun and exciting without Herman Cain, but one exchange from last night is worth noting. It's a back and forth between Michelle Bachmann and Ron Paul on the issue of Iran.
A shadow of a doubt that Iran will take a nuclear weapon. They will use it to wipe our ally Israel off the face of the map, and they've stated they will use it against the United States of America. Look no further than the Iranian Constitution, which states unequivocally that their mission is to extend jihad across the world and eventually to set up a worldwide caliphate. We would be fools and knaves to ignore their purpose and their plan.
Congressman Paul.
Well,
Obviously, I would like to see a lot less nuclear weapons. I don't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon. I would like to reduce them because there would be less chance of war. But to declare war on 1.2 billion Muslims and say all Muslims are the same, this is dangerous talk. Yeah, there are some radicals, but they don't come here to kill us because we're free and prosperous. Do they go to Switzerland and Sweden? I mean, that's absurd. If you think that is the reason, we have no chance of winning this. They come here and they explicitly explain it to it. CIA has explained it to us. It said they come here and they want to do us harm because we're bombing them. What is the whole world about the drone being in Iran? And we're begging and pleading, and how are we going to start a war to get this drone back? Why were we flying the drone over Iran? Why do we have to bomb so many countries? Why are we in, have 900 bases, 130 countries, and we're totally bankrupt? How are you going to rebuild the military when we have no money?
We have an avowed madman who uses that nuclear weapon to wipe nations off the face of the earth. And we have an IAEA report that just recently came out that said literally Iran is within just months of being able to obtain that weapon. Okay. Nothing could be more dangerous than the comments that we just heard.
All right, 30 seconds.
There is no UN report that said that. It's totally wrong on what you just said.
The IAEA
report is not true. They produced information that led you to believe that, but they have no evidence. There's been no enrichment of these bombs.
And if we agree with that, the United States people could be at risk of our national security.
She took my time, so I'd like to finish. If she thinks we live in a dangerous world, she ought to think back when I was drafted in 1962 with the nuclear missiles in Cuba. And Kennedy calls Khrushchev and talks to him and talks him out of this, and we don't have a nuclear exchange. And you're trying to dramatize this, that we have to go and treat Iran like we've treated Iraq and kill a million Iraqis, and 8,000 some Americans have died since we've gone to war. You cannot solve these problems with war. You can solve the problems if we follow our Constitution, go to war, only when we declare the war, go in and win them and get them over with, instead of this endless fighting. Okay. And this endless attitude that we have enemy all around the world.
But as President, I stand on the side of peace.
Thank you.
The American people. I'm sorry, what? Did Michelle Bachmann just say what I think she said? Let me hear that again. I stand on the side of peace.
Thank you.
The American people. Michelle Bachmann stands on the side of peace. So essentially, let's start a war with Iran. P.S. I love peace. There are a lot of things that this makes me think of. But let me just make a light comparison with two cartoon characters, some of my favorites, Charlie Brown's little sister Sally and Linus.
Those kids at the playground think they're so tough. Well, I'm not out to start any trouble, but I'm also not afraid of them. I'm taking the advice of Theodore Roosevelt. Speak softly and carry a beagle.
In my administration, children will be children, and adults will be adults. I may even do away with stupid elections like this. Thank you.
After the holidays are over, everything has quieted, I'm gonna slug you.
So on one hand, you have the crazy, irrational girl flying off the handle once again. And then there's the guy everyone discounts, who actually is making perfect sense. A little far-fetched, but, you know, I think it works. But I want to get back to this comment made by Michelle Bachmann. One more time, please.
I
stand on the side of the people.
Thank you.
The American people.
We'll be right back.
There are so many things to say about this. First of all, Bachman cites a report by the International Atomic Energy Agency that basically says Iran might possibly have been working on developing nuclear weapons before 2003 and may possibly be doing so now. It does not cite any direct evidence of this because, well, there isn't any. So Michelle Bachman is drawing a conclusion based on a hypothesis that's based on a premonition and fear-mongering, and perhaps the desires of the defense community that Iran is an urgent, direct threat to the U.S. not to be ignored. Ron Paul says, let's just tell it like it is and be honest about the fact that it's the warmongering that beefs up the threat. And say what you will about Iran, but if you want to believe they have nuclear weapons capabilities despite very little evidence, fine. But don't say you're on the side and you favor peace in the same breath as you say a war with Iran might be imminent. Let's do a better job here at calling it like it is, people.
Dirty bit. Go away, Baton.
They talked about Pat running for president, and if he did that, I would be very supportive. But he'd have to shake a label that gets assigned to people like Pat who run for the presidency, and that is that he's a tool of the rich. I personally like that very much. My father told me that's the way the system is meant to work. You know, I think Pat's coming quickly. Soon, I think he's going to be in a position for the Trilateral Commission. And if he shows promise beyond that, there's Bilderberg. World control, Pat. Settle for nothing else. By the way, Pat, do you bank at Chase Manhattan?
Nowadays, I can have a video conference with somebody in Brazil while my entire music collection is in my pocket on a phone that is also a camera and a video recorder. I can upload the content onto the internet and potentially have it viewed by every person in the world, but we can't make a car that does any better than 40 miles per gallon. So fortunately, you know, everything else has progressed except for gas mileage. Dude, I'm telling you, they have the technology to get like 500 miles per gallon. They're just not going to put it out because that's how powerful the goddamn oil companies are. They're right up there with the banks. You got the banks and then you got the oil company. The banks control the money supply and then the oil companies, they control energy. Okay, you control energy, you control the population. Do you know that they're actually out here, there's people, they're selling kits out here to have your own windmill so you can get yourself off the grid. So then they immediately passed a law, General Electric, that General Electric had to come around and make sure that everything was safe. They had to get their noses back in there so because they can't have people disappearing off the grid. You can't have people getting free energy other than the cost of the windmill. You can't have them sitting there and every time the goddamn wind blows, It recharges a generator, and now I don't have to work as much. If I don't have to work as much, I don't have to go into debt. You're getting yourself off of the treadmill, and they can't have that.
And in the morning time you stop, you say,
There's a great documentary. It's called The Gas Hole, full documentary. And there's they have everything from the urban myth of the water-powered carburetor. This documentary have everything from like the urban myths that these water-powered cars existed, all the way up to a retired scientist who worked for Shell. You just have to watch this documentary. They were showing there was a book out that claimed that they could get 149 miles per gallon in the 1950s on like a Packard or a DeSoto. And by the 70s, this scientist who worked for Shell said they had gotten it up to 1,000 miles per gallon. All right? I don't know why people think that it's absolutely impossible to improve the gas mileage. Some people feel that. I don't know why people feel like we can't come up with anything better than the gas combustion engine. It's complete. It's the same level of visual as that there's an actual difference between a Democrat and a Republican.
I want to welcome me to your country. It's far too crowded for me to be here, but I don't want to be there. But I just got there, but I don't want to have to be rerouted on the first day of this month's Armageddon. Writing speeches with unleavened pencil. Rewrite the scrolls of history. In the dark with the flash, I whisper into myself and the other diplomats from Switzerland. Me and my constituents and Dan Rather. We like to gather and run the world with the help of motherboard and a back scratcher, God's computer. I drink a vodka shooter out of an antique auction Luger with a bunch of cranky cop recruiters. I offer the future in an office with the t-shirt that buttons up.
There's no way, I don't give a shit whether there's lead in gas, whether there's not lead in gas, how much the car weighs, or any of that. There's no way that in almost 40 years you can't do better than 2 more miles per gallon. I absolutely refuse to believe it. I refuse to believe it. I think it's complete. It's just another way to keep control of the herd. Now, if you want to argue that you need to keep control of the herd or there's going to be absolute chaos, so we have to keep cars down like that, I will listen to that argument. But if you're going to come at me and tell me that in 2011, okay, when I'm reading this, that in the medical field, they can now grow a new colon for somebody outside of the body. I read this thing on that TED.com. This woman had a completely ulcerated large intestine. So they took some sort of tissue culture, whatever that means, out of her diseased colon, used that to then grow another one outside of her body. When they were done growing it, they took the old one out and put the new one in like she went down to Midas Muffler. And it totally worked. Okay? Up until like 5 years ago, you were looking at a colostomy bag. You would have a bag of ish right under her right ear for the rest of her goddamn life. Her social life would have been over. Okay? If they can do that, you're telling me, you're still going to tell me they can't do anything better than about 40, 45 miles a gallon. You're really going to sit there and believe that in your goddamn cubicle, that they just can't. Figure it out.
Just because the world runs on oil doesn't mean oil men should run the world. Just because the sky's my paved road doesn't mean you should pave a road over the sky.
Enthusiastic movie actress who's into pop culture, ethnic cleansing, genetic blending of musketeers who smile from ear to ear for thousands of years. Step and bitches make the crowd cheer. Now, human shield, straight promoters will sleep over and dry your hair with a leaf blower. If you don't know the secret code word, then don't reorder our album stack. You take 3 leaf clovers that give relief to ulcers. Did you know American and British royal fam will lick your oil pan and equate a suicide bomber with a loyal fan? Follow those two, they're looking out for the interests of a small group of Illuminati Lydians, firstborn male with horns and a tail.
It just blows my mind how some people just sit there and they believe that they're not even conscious of the amount of times that they themselves lie during the course of the day, that they themselves spin to try to advance their own lives. Why would you think that a goddamn corporation would be honest? You know?
Pumping gasoline, how much do you want? Fill it up and clean the windshield with the rag. You'll need a quart of oil. My name is Clinton Moyle. I'm not from foreign soil. I've used a car antenna as a fencing foil. Sounds like your engine coil will make your grandson's attention boil. Contribute and give me the rest of the money before you go to the Statue of Liberty restroom, honey. I need to go inside of the store to get you some gum, 'cause your breath smells like the Exxon Valdez oil spill. Clinton, free with the use of a NASCAR gas card. It's a page turner where the red fern grows. Fuel for the bedroom stove. Glad your red fern grows. Rock the boat with your broccoli coat.
Wouldn't you like to be posing nude in front of frozen food? Hook, line, and sinker, but a bookbinder thinker might blow a fuse. When the tube sock can't pop up on ticket gates, I sing a boombox and bucketing soulless to take small chest to gate tools. Oh, sir! When I'm full force from a family yoke and hunger strike, from a cobra, bunker, side testing, biological warfare. Watch the TV screen spectacle, the yerba squeaky clean, edible, leafy green vegetable, or a couch potato slide. When say no, the drugs are in your throat, pillows, the cold chills go through your arthritic when a corpus. The idea is that you'll get to move into your sandcastle by pressing buttons, brand a candle, with a set of instructions on how to turn a TV drying washer into a flying saucer. But never don't be a rush to an act doctor, cause I'm not wrapped so tight, it's act on that. Cut right now! Don't industry smug peddlers, but a wrestler!
It just frustrates me when people believe in corporations, that they're actually doing the right thing, despite the fact the amount of times that there's been unclassified information, and then you find out kind of what's really going on, and every time it's, you know, it's usually some diabolical shit. How many corporations have to dump shit into the water supply before you stop trusting them? You know? The goddamn place where they make the iPhone, there's people jumping to their deaths. Rather than, because that's a better option than sitting there making another iPhone. And then people actually believe the whole that corporations say, well, unless you want that iPhone to cost $9 million, that's the only way to build one. Really? Or maybe you yourself shouldn't make $80 million a year or whatever you're making. The reason why, if you actually paid that guy a decent wage or that poor woman a decent wage, the reason why then it's going to cost me more money for the iPhone is because you're not going to take a pay cut. And the reason why you make the amount of money that you make is because you're exploiting poor people who live in third world countries. That's why you make $80 million a year, not because you're worth it. You greedy snuff. Oh, I'm on my high horse this week.
Just because the world runs on oil doesn't mean oil men should run the world. Just because the sky's my paved road doesn't mean you should pave a road over the sky.
Age-old dream becoming a reality. A local inventor has discovered a way, hear this, to use water to run your car.
It's a major breakthrough that will no doubt make motorists happy. And as Ralph Robinson explains, the Pentagon is also showing lots of interest in this project.
Water has always been considered a precious commodity, but Stan Meyer's invention may make it even more valuable. He has developed what's called a water fuel cell. It has taken the place of his old gas tank. The water fuel cell breaks down water molecules into oxygen and hydrogen. The hydrogen is used to run his dune buggy.
I don't care if you use rainwater, well water, city water, ocean water. If you don't have any fresh water, go ahead and use snow. If you don't have any snow available to you, then use salt water because there's no adverse effect to the fuel cell.
Meyer started working on this project 4 years ago. He's not a scientist. He isn't even a chemist. In fact, he never graduated from college. Myers was determined, he says, to design something to protect this country from oil embargoes.
And we have calculated that if we take the dune buggy from Los Angeles to New York, we would roughly use 22 gallons of water.
The Pentagon flew a lieutenant colonel in last week to look at Meyer's invention. There's talk of possibly using it in the Star Wars defense program and to run army tanks. Meyer is currently perfecting a water fuel cell for cars. It will cost about $1,500. He says it won't need any maintenance and you won't have to replace it. It'll be at least 2 years before the fuel system goes into mass production. The day it happens will be one the fuel industry hates, but it'll put a smile on the face of those who've had to say at one time or another, fill her up.
The Pentagon is also showing lots of interest in this project.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Now, what happened after that? Nobody knows. But basically, within 10 years, Stanley was dead and his car disappeared. And his brother right now is trying to get the car back and nobody knows where it is. All right? I truly believe that the quickest death sentence you could possibly have is to go in the news and claim that you've come out with an alternate source of energy that's going to put a corporation out of business that is making, that is projected to make $350 billion next year. How much do you think your life is worth? And if you have $350 billion, how easy is it, do you think, to get somebody to solve this problem? You can't have people getting free energy, all right? Because they're not going to work. If every time the wind blows, I can watch another 8 hours of TV, you know? Am I going to be putting in for overtime? Am I going to be working like a dog like these other goddamn people? You know? If every time it rains, I got enough water to drive all the way to goddamn Kansas City. I got enough water to drive to Kansas City and back. Do you think that they can have that? I don't believe any of it. And I think anybody out there who's tried to climb any sort of like ladder of power, you haven't noticed that the higher up you went, the more compromised, the more you had to compromise what you wanted. Some douchebag on Long Island comes up with a car that can run on water. You know, and he's not, and that guy wasn't evidently willing to sell his invention. I got to tell you this, people, if you're out there and you're working on an engine that can work on, somehow is powered by water, don't go to the news with it. All right? I don't know how to get it out there, but I'm telling you, if you are able to come up with something like that, and let's say on the sly you started building them, all right, there's no way to keep it a secret. And when the oil companies found out that you had it, there would be like Men in Black type vans pulling up to your warehouse. Okay? And they would be smiling, but they'd have that look where they're looking right through the back of your head. And at first, they'd try to pay you off and buy the patent. And if you didn't sell it to them, they would move to the next phase. And you would somehow mysterious, like the urban myth with that guy, Stanley Mayer, was basically he was in a diner. He stood up, said, "My God, they've poisoned me." He walked out in the parking lot and dropped dead. Shortly thereafter, his card in with the invention in it disappeared. And now his brother's trying to find out what happened to him, which he never will. This is probably one of the craziest podcasts I've ever done. Am I freaking you guys out? Good.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.